Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Citizen Voice Project, and this is part of our Charity Spotlight series. Today we have the founder of Stop Bullying Now Foundation, Lowell Levine, or Levine, I'm probably pronouncing it wrong. Stop Bullying Now Foundation is actually one of the participants in the Safety Harbor Downtown Business Alliance Charity Fundraising Challenge. They're one of our national / state charities. Basically, how the challenge works is we have 27 merchants in Safety Harbor that are offering discounts to loyalty card members. So you will go into shdba.com, that's Safety Harbor Downtown Business Alliance.com, and there's a place for you to check out the Charity Fundraising Challenge and look at all the charities that are participating. And we have links on our page to go directly to their website so you can learn all about them. Then when you purchase a card, we will send you a SurveyMonkey ballot, and that is where you will be voting for your favorite charity in each one of our categories. We have national and state category, a regional category, and a local category. Stop Bullying Now has a special code that when you're voting, you'll enter in a promotional code, and I'm looking for it right now. It is N as in Nancy, dash, S as in Sam, B as in boy, N as in Nancy, F as in Frank. So when you're asked for a promotional code, that's what you want to put on there, and Stop Bullying Now will get a guaranteed $10 per card, and then we're going to be awarding bonuses for the charities, and they'll get donations based on their vote. So with all the business taken care of, I want to get Lowell talking right now because his project is phenomenal. He helps parents and kids on a daily basis, and he just told me that he had a big win today. So I'd like to welcome you to the show, Lowell. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Karina. Thank you very much for having me, and I really appreciate reaching out to my organization to be able to talk to your followers on your radio show.
Well, I'm very inspired because when I put this out there, there were a lot of big interest in it because it is an issue that a lot of parents are dealing with, and especially with the internet being so prevalent, the online bullying seems to be going like wildfire. So, and we need to protect our kids, and you know, we need to teach our other kids that bullying is just inappropriate.
Yes, bullying now is the number one death among children in the country. More children die from bully-related deaths, from school violence or suicide, than they do from accidents and cancer. And the internet, as you said, has become a major part in the bullying problem because of Instagram and Facebook and Twitter. And it has become an out-of-control epidemic. We lost 7,000 children last year that we know of, and because this is the information that's given to me by Children's Disease Center or the Harris Poll, or it could be stopbullying.org, the government organization, or even the school education department in Washington, D.C. But more importantly, as well as that, is that we have about close to 200,000 children per day who have the fear of going to school because of being bullied. And we have reported about 400,000 children that have claimed that they have spoke about or tried to commit suicide. So as you can see from the figures, it's very, very serious problem, but it's very complicated. And what makes this very complicated to the parents and to the school administrators is because bullying is across the board. It has nothing to do with the color, has nothing to do with nationality, has nothing to do with religion, and it has absolutely nothing to do with economics, because wealthy kids are being bullied just as badly as children that are living in poverty. But I get calls every day from parents around the country, as well as here locally in South Florida, to give them advice and guidance of how to handle the situation. And I explained to them, first of all, what creates a bully. Number two, the red lines that they should look for if their child is not speaking up. And that's very, very important because only one out of every four children actually speak up that they are being badly bullied. And so we give them the red signs so they could see what's going on. And then we advise them what to do. And if they can't get it done under our advice and guidance on their own, then they come back to me and have me become their parent advocate, and then I step into the school district to straighten the problem out. And, for example, we had a situation here in Palm Beach County. School is out now, but we have a child that just graduated middle school. I've been with this child for the last year in the middle school to help him with the administrators, and now he's graduated from the middle school, and he's going to be going to a particular high school, but the same children that were bullying him in middle school are going to the same high school, and he doesn't want to go to that high school because he doesn't want to be with the same students. So therefore, the father and the mother tried to get him transferred to another school nearby, and they were not successful. So they called me for help, and I immediately stepped into the problem. And today we just received the email and the phone call from the principal of the new school and the academic advisor of the district that they are going to transfer him on August 17th to the new school. And why didn't – the question I always ask, why doesn't the regular school take care of the problem on their own? Well, they don't understand the problem because when I step into it, I'm very assertive. And I speak to the different people, like the legal department, and I speak to the elected official in the district. I speak to the State Board of Education in Tallahassee. And I get everybody involved with a paper trail so everybody is alerted what is happening. And I give them sometimes examples that I hear when it doesn't take place and the child, unfortunately, commits suicide. And because I had that in Tennessee and Arkansas in the month of late May, where the school district refused to take care of the problem. They were saying it will go away by itself, and three children committed suicide. And I got the information afterwards because I was interviewed by a newspaper in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and I didn't know about these three children until after the problem took place. So when I get involved as the Stop Bullying Now Foundation founder, 100% of the children are saved because the parents follow my advice, whether they're going to move out of the district, whether they're going to move out of the state, whether they're going to homeschool them or send them to a different school. It has to be done to give the child a fresh new start instead of just sitting there being pounded day after day with bullying. And, you know, this is the reason why also it's complicated. There's very few legitimate 501c3 anti-bully foundations in the whole country because of it's very complicated. It's a complicated issue. So I took the stand. This is what I do. I'm happy to do it as long as I'm able to save a child's life. And bullying is between 5 and 18, because I've had four children in Broward County who were in kindergarten and first grade, and I had to move them out to another school. But two of the parents elected to homeschool because they gave up on the safety of the school system. But as long as I know that the situation has been taken care of and the child is safe. And that's and that's how it's done.
Right. What's sad about that is, I mean, when the bullying starts that young, it completely ruins their entire school career. And then, you know, like your middle school child, you know, him going to that high school, if he had to go to the high school, he most likely would have dropped out. And you know, that's generations of kids that we're losing and that aren't being able to be educated because they're in fear when they go to school.
That's correct. And if that boy just today remained in the same school and he was going to continuously be bullied and no one's going to do anything about it, it's not so much that he was going to drop out. The chances of committing suicide rises dramatically.
And
that's what happens, because when I speak to parents or I hear about children that did die committing suicide, they always leave a note. I'm sorry I had to do this. No one's listening to you. No one's listening to me. I'm forced to go to the same school with the same students who are bothering me. They don't stop, and I can't take it anymore. You got to remember, you're doing business here with children. A lot of them, the toughest age, of course, is the age of 10 to 14. But it happens at the age of 5 when they first start. Actually, bullying starts at the age of 3 in the playground.
Wow.
Preschool. Right. But now a new statistic is coming out. Those children that have been badly bullied in school and able to survive, they develop mental problems as they get older. And the other new status coming out, where parents who lose a child because of suicide from bullying, some of them are committing suicide because they can't take the guilt or the empty room, the empty birthday, or the empty parties. So those are new type of statistics that are coming out that I'm being fed, but I'm not finalized yet. But it is happening, because I did speak to a parent in Harlem, New York, whose mother didn't do enough to help her daughter. She hung herself in her bedroom, and she felt that she didn't do enough. About a year later, the mother committed suicide.
I can't imagine the horror of losing a child to that.
They never recover. They never recover. And unfortunately, parents have to be sharp enough to understand that when you send your child to school in the morning, there's no real guarantee they're coming back in the afternoon because of all the school violence. We've had over 150 school shootings since the shootings up in Connecticut a little over 2 years ago that have been reported. But there are a lot of them that have tried to take place that have been foiled by the security on the school campus. But on the bus bullying is 30% of all the bullying. And the internet is about 20%, and the rest of it takes place on the school grounds, the cafeteria, the classroom, the locker room, or wherever else the children are able to sit around and hang around. So it's a serious problem. Now, there's a new type of bullying coming out, okay? We heard of the abuse of bullying. We heard of the discrimination of bullying. We heard the harassment of bullying. Sex bullying is on the rise.
Oh, yeah.
And if you saw the latest figures on the college level, they said one out of every four female that goes to college are sexually abused. But it's happening in the elementary school and the K through 12 school as well. So that's on the rise, and it's that's what makes it very, very complicated. But once the parent gets to me and they know to get to me, I'm able to advise them and explain to them what to do, because if they can't do it on their own, I step in and I take a very assertive stance, because we're dealing with a child's life. Now, what happened in Tennessee, I spoke to the district attorney. He called me.
Yeah.
They're looking into accessory of murder charges on the principal, because there were two children in the same school, and it was going on for 6 months.
Wow.
So the district attorney called me and asked me my opinion on certain things, and he's doing a complete investigation to see if the principal ducked the whole thing and he could be brought up on accessory to murder charges. Plus, there are more and more lawsuits by parents against school districts in the country for not taking care of the child. The child has to go to mental health counseling, or they have to go to a more expensive school, private school, or Catholic school, and they're suing the school system for it. So that's what makes it very complicated.
Well, now, let's give everybody your website so they can connect with you. It's StopBullyingNowFoundation.org.
The Fed side, yes, you're right. StopBullyingNowFoundation.org. My email, direct email, is Lowell, L-O-W-E-L-L, at StopBullyingNowFoundation.org. And my direct number, where they can call me directly, is 561, I'm in Palm Beach County, 374-0673. And I take calls.
And I do want to let everybody know, he's not kidding. He takes these calls personally.
Yes, I take the call personally.
You're an amazing individual, I got to tell
yes.
you.
I had another situation today, just to bring it to your attention, the audience attention. I know all the school board members here in Palm Beach County. I got a hold of one of them late last week because I meet with parents who want to talk to me about a bullying problem at a particular school. So I met with parents last week, about a half a dozen of them who met me for coffee at Starbucks, and they wanted to talk about the bullying problem at their middle school. Because school's out now, and they want to see what could be done before school starts. So what I did was I got a hold of the elected school board member for that district where the school is located, and he just wrote me today. I wrote him last week, and he just wrote me today thanking me for bringing it to his attention, and he's going to sit down and have a meeting with the administrators at the school to see what is really going on. Because the school board members who are elected, they don't know what's going on.
Right. In Pinellas County, we've got a fantastic school board, and in fact, I'm pretty close to one of them, and they're very open to hearing, you know, some solutions to the problems and that kind of thing. And you do a little bit of that as well, don't you? You actually educate schools and school boards on
yes. Whenever a school wants me to come in to talk to the administrators to explain to them, because we have two very powerful programs that are successful. One is to the adults. It's called Educate Bullying Awareness, which I explained earlier what we do. But we also have another program directed to the children. You got to remember, children, when you speak to children, they have a very small attention span.
Right.
But I teach them, because I'm an ex-college basketball player back in the 1960s, I teach them the three most important words that they should learn in their life. And the three words are leadership, teamwork, and practice in school,
Great. At
home, and in sports. And I bring in athletes into the conversation, the names of athletes, like LeBron James or Michael Jordan or Dwayne Wade or Peyton Manning. And I explain to them why they're so successful, because they were brought up understanding those three words, and that's why they were never bullies or bullied. And I go into depth of the definition of each of the three words. And the big problem is with the bullies. More than 50% of the children that are bullies are mentally ill, and they're not getting any help. And the reason they're not getting any help is because the school systems don't have licensed mental health counselors. And the parents who have children that are bullies, a lot of them that I speak to are in denial. But I, based on the contributions we get in, I help parents to get their child to a mental health counselor. And we co-pay with it, or we have to pay it, depending upon the child.
Right. That should be made clear as well. You're not just helping the victims of bullying. You're actually going to the source and trying to figure out why the bully is being a bully. And that's amazing. I don't think a lot of programs actually go that route, which is phenomenal.
They don't. And I'll tell you what my program is. It's very simple because it has worked. I had a situation where a parent called me and says, my child is a bully, he's having problems. I put him into a mental health counselor that I know. And I only use licensed mental health counselors registered in the state of Florida when it's local here. But I do find them in other counties around the country when people need help, because I speak to the counselor first before I recommend them. But the situation is, I am a firm believer in community service with the bullies. I have taken up one particular bully, and I had him volunteer at a children's hospital. And he saw children at the age of 2, 3, 4, terminally ill with cancer and other problems. And he started to get friendly with them. He started to play with them. And he realized, I'm a healthy child. Why am I picking on other kids when these children are not going to be around for another 6 months or a year? And he learned through that experience not to be a bully and to help other people.
Well, and I think
the school system, the mistake they make is they suspend a bully. Oh, you're a bully. You've been we got complaints. Go home. You're suspended for a week. That's the biggest mistake they make, because some of these kids wind up home. The self-esteem is destroyed. The self-confidence is destroyed. They're unhappy, and some of them wind up in gangs.
Right. They get even more angry. But I love that.
And they come back with a gun.
I love that you promote learning empathy, because I think that's a huge lesson that we're missing in a lot of our schools. And it's not the teacher's fault, because unfortunately they're under so much pressure with all the standardized testing that they don't have the opportunity to have those lessons in empathy and loving your neighbors and recognizing that, you know, you can be a not a bully, but you can be somebody that's helpful and it feels good inside to help your neighbor, that kind of thing.
Yeah, they learn. They see it. They see the children with their own eyes, and they're saying, wait, I'm learning something here. I'm picking on this girl. I'm picking on this boy, and he's not coming to school, and he feels bad. And look at these children here. And some of them learn. Those I'm able to get into the community service, they learn. One of the biggest problems you got in the school system, and it's national, is that unfortunately one out of every 20 children that go to school have access to a gun today.
Okay.
It's frightening, isn't it? Grandfathers, fathers, or whatever, they have access to a gun. It's out of control. And it's dangerous.
Well, especially if the gun owners are not responsible. I grew up in a family with guns, and just a short story with you. My father is an NRA instructor and he's a range officer at a gun range. And so my son, when he was young, he was around guns. My father would help, you know, show him how to clean them out and everything. And I thought that I had committed it into his head that he never should pick up a gun ever if there's not, you know, a parent around or an adult. And it just takes a few seconds. I went into my dad's house one day when no one was home, and my son ran upstairs to go check and see if his grandfather was there, and there was a gun sitting there. And he came downstairs, and he had this look on his face, and he says to me, "Mom, I moved it so that nobody else would get hurt." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And he showed me he had picked up the gun loaded and moved it because he was worried about his someone else coming in and getting hurt. But even that few of a second, with a responsible family like we are, with, you know, I thought I was teaching my kid not to do it, but it's just that curiosity. You gotta be real careful with the guns, you know.
That's right. You gotta be very, very careful with it. And unfortunately, that's what happens. It's you don't know from day to day what's gonna happen. Here, we're talking right now. And I don't know if I'm going to look at the news this afternoon and hear about a school shooting in some place in the country or here in South Florida. You don't know.
Right.
Because it's an epidemic. Now, teachers, they don't have the training, they don't have the education, but they're so busy with six classes a day, 25 students to a class, and the guidance counselors now, they're given twice as many students to be under their direction. And they're trying to help kids progress in the right direction, and they don't have the time to worry about a child that's being harassed or abused or bullied. So
with your program actually helping the aggressor, you're actually saving a lot more kids in the future too. So you're straight to the problem. Yeah,
absolutely correct. You got to do it from both ends. You got to help the child that's being bullied. And then you got to help the child that is the bully. Why are you a bully? I had a situation 2 years ago with a bully. I put him in the community service. I had his parents understand what's going on. Now he's like a leader in high school. He was in middle school then. Now he's like a leader. When he sees somebody being bullied, he goes over to them and says, make sure you tell your parents you're being bullied. Make sure you tell an adult here at the school you're being bullied, because it's got to stop. The worst, you don't want children... One thing I do teach, you don't want children to confront the bully.
Right.
Because the bully has mental problems, and A lot of them don't want to give up their power over another child. And that has to do with their upbringing.
Okay.
And you don't want to get into a conflict because you don't know who they are, what they are. They may go home, come back with a gun and shoot you. You don't want to get involved with that. The other big problem that I must say is that when I went to school back in the 50s and the 60s, over 90% of the children lived in a two-parent household. Today it's down to 25%.
Wow.
So the guidance is not there. A lot of kids come home from school at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock and there's nobody home because the single parent is working or she's not available. Maybe she has three kids and she has to run around after school programs with all of them. So that creates another situation. And so that's something that is a social situation, but it's very important and it's also a contributing factor.
Right. Well, and
so that's what
you,
makes it very complicated. You know, it's complicated, of course. And that's why, if you look in the state of Florida, especially South, I don't know of anybody else that is registered with the federal government with a 501c3 for anti-bullying. I do know one in Florida, but they're on the Jacksonville, Georgia border. But I don't know anybody else. You go across the country, people tell me when they go on the internet looking for an anti-bullying foundation, they said that you're the only one we see. So,
well, you're doing great work, and I want to once again encourage everybody to consider joining the Safety Harbor Downtown Business Alliance Charity Fundraising Challenge. And Stop Bullying Now Foundation, they are in our national category. You get to vote for one charity in each category. And when you go to the website, it's S as in Sam, H as in Henry, D as in dog, B as in boy, A dot, dot com. I always forget that. It's shdba.com. And you can get go to the Charity Fundraising Challenge page. And we've got links up for all of our charities, including Stop Bullying Now Foundation. And once again, that's stopbullyingnowfoundation.org. And reach out to Lowell because he is totally, totally there. He answers his phone. He returns phone calls. And you're doing great work. And I'm really glad that you're part of this fundraising challenge. So,
thank you very much. I very appreciate that, and I thank you very much for having me on, because the more parents we reach, or the more grandparents we reach, because grandparents take care of their kids now, too, with the parents working, and they're involved with after school, and the more we reach, the better it is.
That's fantastic.
Then they know who to call and how to get help.
Right.
And the help starts immediately. I mean, when I get a phone call in the morning or the afternoon, that email, that paper trail goes out immediately. Even if I send it out at 9 o'clock at night, when the administrators get in the morning, that's the first thing they see.
Right. Well, and I do want to give you a shout-out, because when I was researching, I researched over 100 charities before the 15 were selected for the fundraising challenge. And your money, the money that you get, and this is what impressed me so much along with your mission, is every dollar you get just goes directly to your mission. I mean, it's just your money is total. You've got a financial, you're just financially fabulous. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, well, the reason for that is very simple. My wife, Barbara, is a licensed real estate broker here in the county. She has her own firm, and she has me use her office and conference room for free. So I don't have to pay $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $8,000 a month rent like other people do. And number two, I have no employees. All I have is people that volunteer their service. And most of the people that volunteer their service are parents who I helped or parents that lost their child. And they want to do something. And what I do is, if they have a situation in Chattanooga or in Texas or in Seattle, Washington, do something in the honor of your child's name, okay? And this way, you know, you can be involved in it. And then when money does come in, I reinvest it back into, not into my licensed mental health counselors. I like to take ads out into the local paper. So people know the money's going back into their own community and it's being advertised, and the other parents know who to call.
Well, Well, that's great, and I really appreciate you taking the time to be on the show today. And once again, it's Scott Lang Now Foundation, and I hope to see you soon in Pinellas County. If you can travel up here for a little bit, that'd be great.
Well, if I get up there, you're the first one I'm going to call.
All right, thanks. Well, have a great day, and everybody have
a great
time.
Thank you very
much,
and enjoy, and have a great 4th of July weekend. Bye-bye.
You too. Once again, this is Citizen Voice Project. You can find us on Facebook. It's Citizen Voice Project. We're on Twitter as Citizen Voice Pro. Stay tuned in and tune in often because we have more charities to be interviewed with the Charity Spotlight Series. Have a great day, everybody.